Our first reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Bob. Our gospel reading, I'm going to go just a little bit beyond what's printed in the bulletin there because there's more happening that clarifies. Jesus speaks. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Now we're going to read a little more in a minute, but we need to talk a little bit about this concept, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, because Jesus uses these terms frequently. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And to talk about it, we're going to go back to the beginning. Something we talked about in Bible study before called a suzerain treaty. Everyone say suzerain? Suzerain. Sounds kind of like Sara Lee, like some kind of breakfast food manufacturer, but it's not. A suzerain treaty is a treaty between a king or potentate. I love that word, potentate. And the regular folks. Used to be in ancient time, they would set up a stele, S-T-E-L-E, a stele, a stone. And they would carve on that stone all the conditions that the king set for the people who would come to settle there. And the king would say, okay, you're going to give me half of the stuff you grow on the land. You aren't going to fight or cuss. You're going to be very good to me. If I need you to come and help me fight a battle, you're going to come and fight a battle. And in return, I'm going to let you work the land. I'm going to protect you from marauders. And we have a relationship, a suzerain treaty, carved in stone for new people coming in to form a new society. Does this ring any bells for anybody? It does for you, Jim? Thank you. Very good. Because when Moses went up on the mountain, he was carving a suzerain treaty for God with all who would listen. It was a treaty where God wrote down, here's what I expect from you. And in return for what I expect from you, I will love you, I will protect you, I will give the land you are heading to, it will be fruitful for you. It was a treaty between potentate and the people. So this is what informed our entire Jewish scripture. This is what informed the entire Old Testament, is this idea of king and servant. King and servant. That was their concept of God and their relationship with God. So the Ten Commandments and everything after that that the scribes wrote down along those lines was all established to please the ruling God. So when Jesus comes along and talks about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about cloud number 17 over there where you're floating and plucking your harp. He is talking about the relationship between God and human beings and the perfection of that relationship when everyone finally follows God's will. So when Jesus says to someone who has answered well a question, you are not far from the kingdom of God, he means that literally. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Where you're standing right now, you are very close to doing all you need to do to please your God. The kingdom of God is of this earth, in the Jewish idiom, and in the way Jesus treats it. Now, and look at his examples in these parables. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Walking through a field, pretty ordinary life circumstance. You're walking through a field and boom! You discover the kingdom of God. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The merchant is in his work, and it's in his work that he finds that jewel of great value. He's in his day-to-day work when he finds the kingdom of God. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So the kingdom of God is much like our natural world in the way we encounter it. The kingdom of God is right here, ready for us to honor our relationship with our God before all else. And when we do that, here comes the kingdom of God. Now, if you know Christ, and you act on it, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus told us that himself. The title of today's sermon is The Good, the Bad, and the Smugly. Because if the kingdom of God is in our regular lives, and if, as Paul says, nothing can ever separate us from that love, then what does get in the way? I get in the way. I get in the way of getting closer to the kingdom of God. I get in my own way. I fail to notice what's going on around me. I'm good. I'm not bad. I'm good, aren't I? You can vote on it later. But anyway, I'm a pretty good guy. The danger for me is when I go from reading my scripture and looking at my relationship with Christ and doing my best to reading my scripture and looking at my relationship with Christ in comparison to all you people, to see how you're not quite measuring up as well as I am. You know, when that line is in there about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, if your reaction is one of, ooh, that's good, that's what it should be. If your reaction is one of, he's gonna get them, that's the smugly. That's the smugly. And that's the warning from Christ. If we are going to find the kingdom of God in the everyday, we better be looking real closely at the people who cross our paths, at the things that happen in our lives, and look for that seed of holiness that is there. Now, there's this whacked out tradition in modern Judaism. It came from a fairly ancient rabbi. It's called Buririm, and I don't know if it's real or not, but it's an ideal, a concept of every human soul having their place set in the world where they wander and they need to find sparks of holiness that are set out just for them alone. And when they find those sparks of holiness in that relationship, in that activity, over here on this sacred ground, when they gather enough of their sparks of holiness, they become a complete and whole person. And while that concept might not be especially biblical, the idea behind it is sacred. It's the same idea as what Jesus said today. Look for the kingdom of God right where you are right now. Look for it in your relationships. Look for it in current events. Look for it in what's going on. Look for it in your intentions. Look for the kingdom of God. Now, just a little ways further on, in this same chapter of the gospel, we get ourselves a look at people who know Jesus and screw it up. Same chapter, two verses later, after the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power?" They're pretty wowed by him, right? Hey, that's good, right? Not quite. "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. They took offense at him. They took offense at him messing with their religion. They knew it backwards and forwards. And here he is, going in and telling them to touch lepers? To welcome Samaritans? To love their enemies? Can you believe the gall of this guy? And they turn away. I like reading my Bible. I like reading inspirational literature. I love coming to church. I love hearing a good pastor. You should try it someday. But these people are face to face with Jesus Christ in the flesh. They recognize the miracles, they recognize the wisdom, and they walk away. And Christ says, I'm sure with sorrow in his heart, prophets are not without honor except in their own country and in their own house. The good, the bad, and the smugly. It is so easy for us to get so comfortable in our religion that we forget all about living our faith. It is so easy for us to use the rules we live by as a measure that makes us better than everybody else. You know, this past week was a tough week for me, but through the whole thing, I was not far from the kingdom of God. How can you look at a crazy guy in pink Converse sneakers leading a bunch of little kids to embrace a family, getting ready to say goodbye to their father? Seven little kids, and show them love, compassion, humor, peace, and sending a message, even though these kids are all homeschooled, they don't even know these children, sending a message, we love you, and we're here for you. Not far from the kingdom of God. Not far from the kingdom of God. Sitting on a dear friend's bed and discussing with her, how do you die? How do you do this? I don't know how to do this. And a few of us had that conversation this week. And arduous, heartbreaking. But the kingdom of God is so near. seeing a surgeon about this tall, maybe that tall, maybe that tall, come out in her scrubs and not be able to get in a word edgewise because she is so ecstatic about how well the cancer surgery went. And so she bounces up and down and says everything she has to say, and there's this little Wile E. Coyote vapor trail behind her as she leaves. And Anna turns to her family and says, I would have introduced you, but I never got the chance. Not far from the kingdom of God. A thunderstorm. A sunrise. The laughter of a child. The repairing of a seemingly impossibly broken relationship. The struggle to overcome a history of abuse, the struggle to overcome things that happened in the past, the joy of sitting in your office talking with someone you've come to really love who's trying to turn his life around, and as he's sitting there telling you he's hoping he's going to get that job, to have George Nybert call on his cell phone while you're there in the office and say, can you start work tomorrow? Not far from the kingdom of God, my friend. Not far from the kingdom of God. We're good. We're not bad. There's no danger of you or I going out and kicking over gravestones, right? There's no danger of you and I hope, embezzling thousands from our companies. We do mess up, but we're not bad. And worse than the sin of breaking one of the ten, worse than that sin would be the sin of smugness and missing how God is everywhere, right now in our world, everywhere. How God has worked in your life this past week, and the way God is ready to do so much more this week. The way God is saying to you, you're going to face your consequences, but stick with me, and you're going to be all right on the other side. My friends, the kingdom of God is very near for all of us. Amen.